This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Point of Sale, Episode 6. This is the Retail Supply Chain Show, where we break down great retailers, the supply chains that move them, and the data they use to make decisions. I'm your host, Andrew Cox, and today we're going to discuss a topic that's a little bit outside the normal scope of the show. We're going to talk about a technology that has some impact directly on retail supply chains, but it has massive impact indirectly on one of the biggest problems that retail supply chains are dealing with, and that's returns. With me today to discuss augmented reality and virtual reality and its impact on retail supply chains is Dejam Panigrahi. He's the co-founder and COO at Gridraster. Before I bring Dejam on, I want to take a moment to thank my sponsors, ArcBest. ArcBest is more than logistics. Whatever you do, whatever you ship, ArcBest makes it easier for you to do business. ArcBest combines reliable capacity, innovative technology, and trusted relationships to take the complexity out of your supply chain and keep your shipments moving. That's what makes ArcBest more than logistics. Dejam, thanks for joining me and welcome.
Thank you, Andrew, for the opportunity. We really appreciate that.
All right, so Dejam, there have been an explosion of AR and VR usage, especially in the pandemic, especially augmented reality when it comes to trying on products and testing products in home. Let's just start broadly with the applications currently in the retail supply chain. Where is augmented reality and virtual reality being used most?
Oh, that's a great question. So honestly, if you're looking at any of the retail players who are have a strong kind of online presence, they kind of pretty much started on the AR VR like long time back. For example, I can talk about Wayfair or Macy's and some of the other folks in that direction. But what you're beginning to see you're seeing a end-to-end strategic approach right now due to the pandemic, okay, where they are integrating not only in terms of conceptualizing what kind of products they're going to kind of build, but also throughout that supply chain, as you said, like right from the point of sale where somebody is going to kind of experience the product, whether it is online or it's going to be in a brick and mortar kind of a retail store, or the whole process about how do you work on kind of building the confidence in terms of the buy that the customer is going to make and ensure that it fits into the environment they're going to kind of use that product and ensure in the long run that the amount of return kind of significantly is dropping down. And that's some of the things that we are kind of currently working with some of the large retail customers in different phases of the engagement. The initial results have been absolutely encouraging.
Well, Dejam, let me take a step back and give you a moment to explain a little bit about what Gridraster does, because VR and AR, it's a big topic and there's multiple levels in the technology stack. So give a little elevator pitch on what Gridraster does.
Okay, so everybody knows that there is one on the device, like all the different AR VR device providers you have, and then we have all the different content providers who bring in the different content. Like in the retail case, like it could be a design of something that you're wearing or a furniture or anything for that matter. You have different models, everything kind of available. Today, mostly what you see, the most of the experiences that being provided, like you are trying to get all the content on to the device and ensuring that the person is kind of getting that experience, AR, VR experience. But as we begin to kind of scale and as you begin to kind of have this experience go to the masses, you want to ensure that this can happen very, very seamlessly. So what we are building, you can think of an in-between stack, which allows any of this VR content to kind of seamlessly get delivered onto the device with absolute full experience and different capacity to do analysis on top of the different information that is there and do it from the cloud. So we are leveraging the cloud to deliver this high-end immersive experiences onto the devices, which are going to become more more and more, you know, easy to wear. And the compute has to come from somewhere. The resources has to come from somewhere. Like, we are enabling that from the cloud. The cloud acts as a co-processor to any low-end device and still be able to provide you the most immersive experience that is possible. So that's the part we are building. And most of the customers that we are working are in a phase where they're transitioning from pilots and the initial POCs to kind of a large-scale deployment. And that's where we are helping them do that.
Jean, like I said, we've seen a big uptick in usage, especially with AR when it comes to testing and trying on products of Sephora and Ulta on the beauty side. And as you said, Home Depot, IKEA, Wayfair, they all do it on the furniture side, seeing how things fit into people's homes. Where are we on the adoption curve for augmented reality? Are we just at the beginning? And as a follow-up, are augmented reality glasses, I saw that InReal is now expanding to the US, that's very exciting. Are AR what smartphones were to the internet? Is that kind of the big leap, the next leap forward after smartphones?
I mean, that's exactly what we believe in. I mean, we left actually pretty cushy jobs in the tech world, like the Qualcomm, Texas Instruments and everything, to kind of jump here. That's a firm belief. Like, we strongly believe that the mixed reality, whichever term you use, augmented reality, virtual reality, overall, end of the day, it's going to become a device where you can experience both AR and the VR experiences. All those companies are working in that direction. And we firmly believe this is the next computing platform. I mean, end of the day, I mean, what did a smartphone did? I mean, it pretty much put internet accessible to everybody, right? I mean, that's effectively what the smartphone kind of did. And then kind of it unlocks so much of potential, all the use cases that can kind of come from such a platform with such an access. Now, what AR VR is doing is trying to take that curve ahead. Like, you are basically that whole communication, which has been more on the video and the voice. Can you take that experience more to something more immersive, more interactive? Like, as if instead of we having this call over a video, it could be a holographic that we are almost kind of sitting on a coffee table and actually having a discussion. That's going to be possible in just, you know, a few years from now. So that's where we're going in that direction. And that immersiveness, that connection, that empathy that medium could bring, that's very, very exciting for us. And we are basically tracing that path.
So if we're on the cusp of this big transformation in the way that we shop, I think that augmented reality has the potential to do that. Should every retailer have an augmented reality or virtual reality strategy at this point?
So there's a you know, the thing that we talk to a lot of these customers, like, if you don't have it, your competition has it. Okay, so just look at it. I mean, it just would become, it's a matter of time, it will become a hygiene in terms of the user experience, right? I mean, if once you experience, it's like, once you saw the, you know, movies in color, would you go back to the black and white? I mean, it's a question of, this is absolutely paramount importance that, like, everybody goes into this. I understand, like, people have different priorities they are kind of tackling with, but it's just given that this technology is going to kind of stay, and it is going to stay because of its merit. Just for example, like, most of the companies we actually went to the retail before the pandemic, I mean, they definitely had some plan in terms of how they're going to work, how they bring in all this technology part of their digital transformation. But the pandemic was a complete game changer. You know, you are confined to, you still have to have, the customers still are looking at an experience which is like a little closer to what they used to potentially get in a physical store. But they are looking, I mean, they're relating their experience closer to that, right? So with the pandemic, what effectively it happened, that whole adoption curve that which is looking like maybe 4 to 5 years, it pretty much kind of shrunk to like months. You know, and a lot of this thing kind of started as a temporary measure, but now it's just kind of there to stay because of the value they have kind of seen. Just take the case of the online shopping. In terms of online, you almost see like 30% return. Right. Mm-hmm. Anything you buy, that's just like huge. I mean, in terms of the cost that is associated with it. And a lot of this return is because when the consumer buys something and when it kind of comes to them, it's not in the way they kind of expect it. right? And particularly for the furnitures and all, like this is like huge. I mean, so what AR has all of a sudden given a capability that you can, like, while you are surfing for what you're looking to kind of buy, you can almost see it, apart from the fact that you can't really feel it and like hold it. You pretty much can get all the features. You can actually see everything in every way possible in 3D, and then with the augmented reality, particularly with the furniture, if there is a space where you want to kind of put a certain furniture and you want to compare with all the rest of the furnitures that you have or whatever the right wall paints you have, or in the space size that you have, you're like, you're so more confident that, okay, this is what I'm buying is absolutely fitting in. So the returns are bound to kind of shrink. And the early numbers that we are kind of working with some of the customers is staggering. We'll talk about it more as we kind of go forward with as we complete the project. But those numbers are staggering, and this is going to be completely huge. It's a game changer for retail.
Yeah, the numbers that I've seen, I agree with you, are fascinating. So, I mean, Shopify put out some data that interactions with products having 3D or AR content had 94% higher conversion rate, and that led to 40% fewer returns. It's like, this is what I am trying to get across to people in freight and logistics. We are so focused on returns as this inevitable, you know, big problem in freight and logistics, and we're so focused on how do we make the return more seamless, more efficient, and as lowest cost as possible. But I think that is the wrong way to look at things. That is saying that the return is inevitable, and that's focusing on the post-transaction processes of the process, and rather focusing on the pre-transaction process, like offering AR and VR or offering better imaging. It makes so much more sense. And I do have a question. Do you think that testing and trying on products has changed forever? Meaning, like, in a post-COVID world, in, you know, 9 to 12 months, when most Americans have vaccines and stores have gone back to regular operations, do you think that people will always go back to trying on makeup in store, or do you think AR and VR is here to stay in a way that physical testing has changed forever?
We are never going back to the same world. I can tell you that. Okay, so of course, I mean, there are certain part of the experience everybody kind of looks forward to when you are in a physical retail space. But I can 100% tell you, you're never going back to the same world again. I mean, it's some of the changes are forever. I mean, the ease and the convenience at which you can kind of try this different products, okay, and get a, you know, and in the most hygienic ways possible, like a lot of stuff, like, I mean, the hygiene has a big question there, right? It is unmatched, like when you are kind of the way we are able to do it today. So to your earlier point, when you're talking of the post and the pre thing, the way we try to kind of phase it is, you know, people are focusing a lot of times on the symptoms, okay? But if you actually focus on the cause, the symptom automatically goes. And the beauty about this technology, it addresses multiple things. The people who are the retailers or our customers who are kind of deploying it, they kind of realize it. First, from a customer experience point of view, it's like, you know, it's like so much better than, you know, just the online shopping that was available earlier. The second is in terms of you know, the conversion, as you pointed out, you know, the kind of conversion that you're seeing. Third thing is it allows the capacity for the end user to customize things to their needs, which in a way allows a retailer another avenue to kind of upsell products, because with the customization, you're basically personalizing it. You're relating something that you're doing yourself. You're kind of relating the overall value of the sale is kind of significantly increasing. We have seen up to like 20-25% increase in the overall sale value as well. So there's like across, and the returns is just a, what I say, it's just the down, you know, side product of the whole process. It's not actually the end goal there.
Dejam, I think a lot of people that are listening have probably used AR for the first time this year, probably to try on makeup at Ulta or Sephora, or try on sunglasses or what have you. I remember my first introduction was back, I guess, summer 2017. Of course, Pokemon Go was all the rage. And I think that AR product testing is a good introduction to AR to people. But what do you think is next from retailers? Do you think that we're going to see is the next leg the Snapchat lifts and whole virtual stores? And in that next leg up, are glasses required for the next leg of this technology?
So I think that the ease of there are ways, like if you go to a store, you can have even the holographic experiences, but that some of those setup actually needs like a proper setup, and they may not come easy. So the easiest way at this point we see and the transition is going to happen from the smartphones to the glasses at some point, I'm absolutely sure, but it's not going to happen just immediately. So what you're going to see, I mean, most of the even the Air glasses you would have seen would be look quite clunky and, you know, quite heavy, but those things are going to change. I mean, some of the work that we are doing, because if you can bring the cloud to do all the heavy computing stuff, you don't have to put all this compute and battery and all on those glasses. So Nreal and all, like you're going to see the transition happen. We are going to kind of wear the glasses as if just the regular spectacles or the regular shades that we kind of wear, and then you have all this VR and AR experiences overlaid over it. But in the meantime, I think transition will still go through the smartphones and then move into the glasses. So at least that's something, at least in the near future, the transition, what we are kind of looking at and we are excited about.
And what do you think is next from retailers? Do you think that virtual stores will become kind of just table stakes for these companies? Will everybody have their own virtual store like they do, like they do websites?
Yeah, so one of the interesting concept that is going to kind of the virtual stores, the way we kind of shop right now is more on the you go to the store website and you just, you know, go and buy certain thing. If you're aware, like there's the whole concept of metaverse, which is kind of building out, right? Which is you're going to see a parallel world, a virtual world, which is kind of built with all the different users coming in there. So you'll also see the retailers playing a key role over there. A lot of those products are going to kind of be bought through those events. Let's just figure out, like if you are in a metaverse and you are kind of building a civilization, you know, fighting some evil enemy over there, and you have all the ammunition that is required, and some of the things you really find interesting, you can straight away buy from there, and retailers have to kind of plug into that whole system to kind of make those sales happen. And I'm sure beyond the e-commerce and the online shopping that we see today, you're going to see a lot of those plugged into that environment as well.
You hit a buzzword with me on metaverse. I'm very interested. Epic Games is probably one of my favorite companies in the world right now. I am fascinated by the next story that's going to play out over the next 15 to 20 years, Roblox and the companies that are going to be involved in building it. So I don't want to get too deep into metaverse, because you and I'm sure we could go on for hours just on that topic. But how big is the market without the next leg to virtual stores and eventually to metaverses? How big is the market for augmented reality? How do you guys quantify that?
So you're talking in terms of the retail?
Yeah, I guess in terms of retail, how much value is there to unlock? Because I look at it and I say that there's $550 billion per year in returns in the U.S. alone. I mean, that is something that could be a massive unlocking of efficiency if we can actually get these type of return decreases across the market with this use of technology. So how big is the market when you guys are sizing it up?
No, you pretty much, with just the one instance, like you can pretty much kind of hit the nail with the hammer, right? So you have just take the case of the returns. Like even if you reduce by like 40%, you're pretty much looking at $200 billion over there. Okay, so obviously a lot of this will be an integration of a lot of different technologies. It's just not going to be standalone the AR that would do it. But overall, from a retail standpoint, like we are at least looking at just from a software, like from our angle, we are looking at least a 20 to 25 billion opportunity just from the software angle. I'm not talking about anything else. And hopefully, like we can get a good chunk of the pie from there when we enable all these technologies.
What are the limitations of AR and VR before we get to, in its current form, the applications that we use right now? I think that's probably the best way to scope this. What do you think are the current limitations?
So a lot of things like today, I mean, the experience that you can get on the smartphones are in a way like not really truly immersive, right? I mean, there are a few variables that we think will begin to kind of fall in place. There are some things which are more technology oriented, which will keep on happening with people like Microsoft investing, and hopefully Apple will come up with their glasses. And when Apple comes up, it will be like consumer oriented. It's not going to be enterprise. So most of the thing that you see today is very aligned to the enterprises. So whether it is, but I'm talking of the glasses with the Microsoft HoloLens or the Oculus, they're still pretty much like enterprise oriented. So when Apple kind of comes with their glasses and Facebook are going big on this, Facebook are not going to focus on enterprise. Like their whole bread and butter are the consumers. So when all these big entities like come up with their glasses and the different solution, and even the Microsoft and all, they evolve into solution which is more like consumer focused and can take care of all the variables. And there is an infrastructure piece, which basically where we are an active component over there, the how you will have all these experiences seamlessly kind of streamed to all the nook and corner of the world. That's where like, because retail shopping happens everywhere, right? You should be able to kind of enable them across. So all this thing will slowly kind of fall in place, and that's where the beauty will kind of emerge. And a lot of this, we are living in a very exciting time with all the cloud, the 5G, and then you have this AR and VR and all the AI, and all of them are kind of converging, and you're going to see some fascinating stuff happening that we have never seen before.
Dejan, do you think it's going to be the same story that we have going on today with the smartphone market? Is it going to be the same story that plays out with the glasses market, in that we have Apple and Android, and that's pretty much the two competition? I mean, do you see that same story playing out where Apple's going to be there, one of the dominant players in the market, and then you'll probably have an open source platform with Android running it with many different hardware producers? Do you see that playing out?
I mean, with every evolution of the platform, you know, whether you're looking at the mobile phones or before that, the PCs, you've already seen, you've always seen like new companies kind of coming up and taking up a big chunk of the market. And I don't see why it will be otherwise this time around. Apple and Google, and they will definitely be there, but I wouldn't at all be surprised if somebody like who is kind of leading the charge, like we thought maybe Magic Leap will do it, but I wouldn't at all be surprised that somebody new coming in, and they're able to bring something which is much more appealing and much more end-to-end, much more thought from a AR VR platform point of view than trying to bring the old stuff on the new thing, but rather than conceptualizing things, what is really possible in the 3D world instead of mapping things from 2D to 3D world. I wouldn't be surprised then we have somebody new who is kind of leading all the way.
Well, Dejan, that is exciting. I'm always cheering for the new up and comers going against the incumbents in every industry, no matter what it is. So Dejan, thank you so much for taking the time, giving us some insights on AR and VR and its impact to the retail supply chains. I want to give you a moment for some FaceTime. You give everybody listening a shout out through where they go to learn more about GridRaster.
No, firstly, like, thank you for the opportunity. Really, it's absolutely a pleasure. Like, the best way, like, please go onto the website, www.gridraster.com. And we are in the process of kind of revamping some of the stuff, but you just keep track there. Like, you're going to hear some really interesting stuff going on.
All right, go to GridRaster.com, find more information on GridRaster. Also follow Dejan on LinkedIn. That's where I found Dejan. Everybody, make sure to tune in to FreightCast for all of FreightWave's podcast, everything that we create there on one feed. Also subscribe to Point of Sale wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple Podcast or Spotify. And also subscribe to the Point of Sale newsletter, which comes out on Mondays and Thursdays. You can find that full of insights on the retail supply chain on FreightWaves.com/POS. Thanks. We'll see you again next week.